Uh-oh, it's Big News Wednesday. But right off the bat, J.R. Jackson, welcome. But I want to keep it real. Unfortunately, it's not going to be the Big News Wednesday that I wanted. It's going to be big. It's going to be awesome. But I was really hoping that it would be Big Arrest Wednesday.
I thought you were expecting a Big Arrest Tuesday.
Well, yeah, no, I was. But then they said that it was going to be Wednesday. And now it's looking like the signs are pointing to not today, unfortunately. It's fine. We got a ton of other news to talk about. Arguably, I don't know how we would have fit that breaking news into the show. But it isn't looking like it's going to happen.
John, sorry. Come on, bro. Okay, I need to know specifically. Not specifically. I need to know, to what percentage did you believe this would happen? Mine was at zero.
No, I believe that something might happen. Like, I hate, like, if you mention that he might get indicted or whatever, someone, like, maybe on Twitter, whose, like, entire personality is, like, hating S-libs or whatever, be like, yeah, look at you once again thinking he's gonna rot. No, that's not what I'm doing at all. You're jumping way ahead of this. But I did think that maybe something would happen. Mm-hmm. And it still looks like it will, but not quite yet, unfortunately.
John, a troll unsubscribed from my channel because of you. He said, after 16 years of watching Damage Report, Young Turks, Rebel HQ, and all these shows, I'm unsubscribing because these guys have been hunting down this story instead of just speculating on him getting arrested. How come they didn't do it? And I said, well, problem is I said the exact opposite. Number one, number two, the Damage Report has not been around for 16 years.
No, it hasn't. Also, you're getting mad at me about speculating. Pretty sure that's my job. I'm pretty sure that's what I do, at least in large part. But don't worry, you don't have to speculate about what we're going to be doing on the show today, because I'm going to give you a little preview right now. We're going to be talking about Ron DeSantis, who he actually is, which his attempt to brand himself as some sort of reasonable alternative to Donald Trump turns out to be less and less accurate with every passing day. We've got some actual legal updates on Donald Trump, but not related to what's going on with Stormy Daniels. We're going to be mixing it up. Turns out I had requested earlier this week, hey, can we get a bit of an update on the documents? And what do you know? We got it. Also, Tucker Carlson, I thought he had nothing to worry about when it came to his base looking at him, clearly stating that he despises Donald Trump. But he's giving signs that he does have something to worry about, because he has been working overtime to try to reassure them that he does not, in fact, despise their God Emperor. So we're going to have that for you and a whole bunch more news besides all of that coming up soon. In advance of that, please hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're live. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats to let us know what's going on in your life, ask us questions, get a little giggle, maybe get a Blue Apron gift card. All of that is available to you, and I can't wait to see what you send in. With all that said, JR, you ready to talk about some news?
Damn it, John, I am. But wow, your hair grows faster than mine. I'm just saying, it's starting to drop.
It is starting. I know.
It's been like a month, bro.
It's gonna be to my feet soon. I don't know what I'm gonna do then. But anyway, with that said, we'll give you updates on hair soon. First, updates on other news.
Sorry.
Ron DeSantis would love to have you believe, many in right-wing media would love to have you believe, that he is a reasonable alternative to Donald Trump. I mean, I know he does all of this anti-woke stuff, but he's not crazy. He's not cruel and evil like Donald Trump is. Well, yeah, yes, he really, really is, in particular ways that have been true for many, many years in his record. Now, we're going to go all the way back to when he was 27 years old. He was a Navy lawyer, fresh out of Harvard Law School. Another thing about him and virtually all of these Republicans that they don't want you to believe. Remember, they're populists, not elites at all, but they all went to Harvard and Yale. Anyway, he was serving in Guantanamo Bay. And at that point, hundreds of the enemy combatants that the US had already been holding for many years, without any charges whatsoever, no due process whatsoever, were going on hunger strikes. And he had some advice. He said, and this is, I would love to show you the video. It's unfortunately local news. Here's what he said. Some of the things they would do hunger strikes. And you actually had three detainees that committed suicide with hunger strikes. That's not actually accurate, but that's what he said. So everything at that time was legal in nature, one way or another. So the commander wants to know, well, how do I combat this? So one of the jobs of the legal advisor would be like, hey, you actually can force feed. Here's what you can do. Here's kind of the rules of that. And we're gonna dive into what this force feeding actually is, why it's so barbaric and all that. But there is some stuff in that paragraph that is deeply fascinating and distressing at the same time. And it might not be immediately clear why. So first of all, there's the lies about exactly how these suicides happened and all that. Then he says, so everything at that time was legal in nature, one way or another. That is amazing. I mean, this Guantanamo has for literally decades now been an example of how America's supposed commitment to the Constitution and due process and all that means literally nothing as soon as they decide that one group is really bad and we can do whatever we want. And for a guy who desires to be the president to say everything was legal in nature one way or the other, he's supposed to be the guy who's not gonna go to the constitutional excesses of Donald Trump. It's one way or another, it's legal. They're literally talking about people that have been held with no charges whatsoever. And then one of the jobs of the legal advisor is, I guess you can torture them. Here's kind of the rules of that. You're there specifically to give legal advice. And you clearly see your role only to tell the commander whatever they want, even if it goes against international norms of how detainees should be treated and all that. And for your approach to be, here's kind of the rules of torture. Jesus, man. Jesus. This is the guy that we're supposed to find to be reassuring. He's not crazy like that Trump guy. Take a look at how like fast and loose he played with the rules when it came to torture, JR.
So this is how he likes to work, obviously. Usually you may want to talk about your past and things you've done, especially when you're, you know, ramping up your run for presidency. I wonder how much they're going to talk about this, because maybe they'll talk glowingly about his time, you know, at Guantanamo Bay. He was one of these folks who really worked hard to keep these wild folks in line and in check and protecting Americans from these terrorists and all these things. Maybe they will, but it will open them up to then actual people looking into things that he said and did as a part of this whole thing. But yo, listen, these are these opportunities. When we talk about the American exceptionalism and how wonderful we are, and with a shining example on the hill, these are those moments to actually show your principle when the cameras aren't on, when things aren't really happening, when you're not a politician yet, and you're doing it just because that's your job then. This could have been Ron DeSantis, who then went on as whatever kind of legal career in the Navy, whatever hell he may have wanted to do if he didn't become a politician, but he did the right thing then. Not because it would lead him to then the presidency or even as the governor of Florida as he is right now. This is the type of stuff that we like to say is the reasons why we're so American. But we're not teaching Americans to do this type of stuff. Apparently, we never have. We just say it. And then when the time comes to be that, we're not that at all. And then later, you have to either cover it up or lie about it. Yeah. The way he does with many of the things that he's been all about. Because that's the basis for how these types of folks actually act. Now, if you don't want to be that, just say, yo, I don't believe in that. I wanted to torture folks. I didn't mind about these hunger strikes. I don't care about the force feeding. Say all that stuff, because there's probably still a certain percentage of people that are following you that'll be like, yes, you know, yeah. Be who you really are at least.
I mean, that's my real fear. I feel like if this becomes a big issue, which, you know, we'll see if it is. A lot of Americans don't care about this sort of thing. It's terrible, but it's true. He probably could just come out and be like, yeah, no, I was there for it. I watched them be tortured and I loved it because they were evil and they should be tortured. And how many Republican primary voters would be like, dear God, no, this goes against the Bible, which I love. I doubt it. I doubt it. I would love to be proven wrong. Kind of doubt it. So here is what actually happened. Detainee, and by the way, it wasn't at the end of the day, to be clear, up to Ron DeSantis whether this happens or not. But bear in mind that when, you know, when the moment came when he could stand against something that was deeply immoral, went completely contrary to all of his religious values and contrary to international law, he decided to just go along with it. And someone in the chat said, hey, John, get off of him. He was just following orders, like jokingly. No, seriously, go to the Daily Beast. In the article, the captain above him at that point literally says that. He was just following my orders. How can you say that without realizing the historic context that you're invoking there? Just following orders sucks, okay? Especially from someone who wants to be a leader. So detainees were strapped into a chair and a lubricated tube was stuffed down their nose so a nurse could pour two cans of a protein drink now. The detainees' lawyers tried and failed to stop the painful practice, arguing that it violated international torture conventions, which by the way, they had a lot of support for those arguments. The UN Commission on Human Rights concluded that force feeding amounted to torture. The International Committee of the Red Cross reached a similar conclusion about overall conditions at the prison. One former detainee, by the way, was interviewed, said he personally urged DeSantis to report mistreatment of prisoners to higher ups. Another said that DeSantis witnessed his force feeding in person. Did it bother him? Not enough to do anything about it. Not enough to even say anything about it afterward. He apparently was perfectly fine with what he saw. And to be very clear, this is not just a case of him standing aside and letting it happen and giving his legal stamp of approval back when he was a Navy lawyer. He has repeatedly argued since then that the US was correct in imprisoning detainees outside the legal system. And after joining Congress in 2013, he became a leading voice to keep the prison open, even though few of the detainees there were ever charged for literally decades and most have been released. He has described the hunger strikes as part of a jihad against the United States and characterized claims of abuse from detainees and their lawyers as attempts to work the system. And he can easily do that, and the video is available if you want, because he doesn't see these people as people. Let's be very clear about that. Would he, if the January 6th detainees went on a hunger strike, do you think Ron DeSantis would describe it as a jihad against the American government? And these are people who literally tried to overthrow our government. This was not a thing where they were doing something on the sides or whatever, or by implication, or maybe some of them were bad, some of them were innocent. No, all of them wanted to stop an election from being certified, and he would be perfectly fine with the JR.
Of course, that's the whole idea. The whole thing is to make this partisan battle back and forth. So as long as you're on the side of whatever partisan agreements or agendas that they've got going, you're in the right. So you can be the type of person that fights specifically for themselves. So again, I think you alluded to this from the beginning. How does this then lead to what type of leader he would then be, say, as president? Look at the kind of leader he is as a governor. He's weaponizing his authority against any dissenters, any folks who even talk about him, definitely against folks who are different than him. You see the laws that they're trying to push through and put into place. And these are all things that he's thinking are gonna get him to that point. Not because he actually cares about these things. The reasons why we talk about all the former the Republicans that are in leadership positions that once dressed up in drag, or maybe multiple times, or maybe for their entire young adulthood. The reason we talk about that stuff is to point out they actually don't care about these principles they keep talking about. They actually don't care about the rights of the unborn, the way they always say, because as soon as they'd be in that position, guess who goes straight and finds the next abortion clinic that they can find? Not because of there's any kind of issue, but because they just don't want to have to deal with that type of stuff. So his principles are about himself, and the people who are supporting him don't realize himself doesn't include them.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's why we try to get through to these people to make to understand that they don't care about any of this. And I understand for many of them, they wouldn't care. The important thing is that they've been convinced that these things need to get done, whether their avatars and government actually believe or not, probably doesn't matter. And by the way, like whether people are honest and passionate isn't the only reason to support politicians. You can support their strategy or whatever. But for me, I mean, look, I can only speak for myself. I try to find people that give me good reason to believe that they actually care about this stuff. And Ron DeSantis is just another Ted Cruz. He's another one of many of these people that don't actually care about this stuff. And it might seem to some of you as if, well, this is like really old stuff. Why are you so concerned about this? The reason I'm concerned about this is, first of all, I don't care if it's old. These are people. This is torture. And the guy who's willing to watch torture on a small scale when he's a lawyer seems like the sort of guy that's probably gonna be fine with it as president, as US policy around the globe. But more importantly, it's because he hasn't changed from when he was standing in a cell in Guantanamo and watching someone be tortured. To him, they were a means to an end. If he plays ball, then he'll move ahead. I fully believe, and this is speculation, so apologies to the trolls who might unsubscribe, he is the sort of person that every career move he has made, everything he's done, everything he's said has been intentional to follow a strategy. He enters the Navy because it looks good. If you were in the Navy, if you're gonna run for office, he went along with torture because he's not gonna be the guy that like rocks the boat and gets in trouble. And he's willing to take these people who are people, treat them like they're not people, to burnish his conservative credentials. And let me ask you a serious question. In the many years since then, what has changed? Now, the nature of the group he's targeting might be different, but the way that he's treating trans people, the way he's treating the LGBTQ community, it's the same thing. deny their humanity, step by as their legal rights are completely removed, as they are in many cases beaten and potentially killed because it benefits your career. Allow it to happen. And we can have a philosophical debate about whether it's better or worse that he probably doesn't actually care about these people at all. I personally think that being a sociopath politically in that fashion might make it worse, but that's what he's doing. He did it back then. He's done it. He's doing it right now. That's how he sees the next step will be achieved.
What is your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron de Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I don't know how to spell de Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we'd go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
Yeah, but what if it can't? Because I don't know if you've been following the polls, Ron DeSantis, but if you take a look at the trend line, he has been massively losing ground over the past few months. And this is while his main opponent is facing possible indictment and criminal charges. And despite that, Ron DeSantis is, as we predicted last year, so bad at this that he is slipping and saying, like, your defense as a Harvard educated lawyer that I like the sanctimonious because I can't spell it. Aren't I folksy? You think that's gonna win over the MAGA base? Come on, JR, he's yes. Horrible at this.
He does think that. And that's the thing, it doesn't take much effort, doesn't take much forethought. It also doesn't take much strategy. Just say, oh, I don't like that stuff. I can't, too many vowels. Just if you play up stupidity, then you're winning already. I did notice though, Piers Morgan, I get it. It happens. I mean, I'm going to criticize it, but I'm sure it happens in left circles as well. If you have a big guest on him, this guy is potentially a presidential candidate, then suddenly, the watch when he throws his head back laughing. All he said was, I don't know how to spell it. It's not that. I mean, maybe it's slightly humorous, but like you have to really overplay it because you got this big guest. Fine. Okay, there it is. So, I mean, it's one of those things where he'll find himself in these positions, and we already know there's been stories about Ron DeSanctimonious going and trying to avoid certain appearances, certain public interactions because he's a bit awkward. That's just who he is. That's no difference of, it's just who he is. So they need to for him to avoid that. So when he does land these types of things, the people that are talking to him have to be over the top and how wonderful and amazing he is to help him feel more comfortable. And this is going to apparently be the way that things go forward, because there's been groups that see him coming and go, we're going to make sure we accommodate him in any way possible. So this is the bubble that he's been wrapped in. I'm not sure at what point he's finally going to be exposed to something else besides that bubble, but he needs to be prepared.
Yeah, look, coming out of this, the full interview isn't available. So again, this is speculation. We'll see what comes out of it on Thursday when the full interview airs. But we do know that the narrative coming out of it is that this is him flexing, hitting back a little bit. And so while he says at some point during this interview that the attacks are just background noise, he doesn't care. It's not important for me to be fighting with people on social media. It's not accomplishing anything for the people I represent. Almost immediately, he pushes past his lack of interest in fighting back to try to fight back a little bit. So now we get to evaluate how he does that. He says, at the end of the day as a leader, you really want to look to people like our founding fathers when asked if personal conduct in a leader matters. It's not saying that you don't ever make a mistake in your personal life, but I think, what type of character are you bringing? Truth is essential. We have to agree that there's a certain reality of the world we live in, which is fresh coming from a guy who's trying to stop kids from understanding literally anything about the reality we live in. But those are his hits. Like, Donald Trump is the most flawed candidate to ever run for office. And it's just like, you know what? The time has come, meatball, to hit back. I think truth is essential.
Honest question.
Point out that 4 months after his wife gave birth, he went and had an affair and then had to pay hush money. You know why he had to pay the hush money? Because he didn't want his voters, conservatives, MAGA people, to know that he cheated on his wife who was dealing with their 4-month-old baby at that point. We care about the family. We're family values. And it sickens me to the deepest pits of my gut that this guy would so betray his wife and his family by cheating on her 4 months after she gave birth. And you just repeat it over and over, and you hit him and you hit him, but he won't do it because he's a whiny little baby. He's a tiny little meatball.
And that's the question. At best. Who would you, I guess, prefer? Because honestly, I hope Nikki Haley comes out on top, because both of these guys are serious trouble. You guys got to keep it real. There's no way to go about this back and forth, potential back and forth that's going to come up between these guys, and then not see, oh, I'd rather this guy than that one. I don't want to see either one of them, but that's kind of impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, look, this shifts, you know, any evaluation I give right now is only good for when I give it, but I would say at this point, I think perceptions of Trump are less in flux, and he has already lost the popular vote twice, so I feel a bit more confident about that. I think that Ron DeSantis would be a horrible general election candidate, so I'm not particularly worried about him either. But in both of these cases right now, I think we're assuming that we're gonna have Biden, so there is reason to be worried in all cases.
Yeah.
By the way, also bear in mind that even this little puddin' soft attacks are leading to him being hit. Jason Miller tweeted out, Ron DeSantis has finally shown his true colors. An establishment never Trumper despises the MAGA base and was faking it the entire time. He didn't even say Trump. Like, and this is the attacks that he's gonna get. And Donald Trump, by the way, has noticed, he's been tweeting out, like, for instance, this article from the Daily Mail about Steve Bannon attacking him. So he's taking note of these attacks, and he's gonna hit back 10 times as hard and 10 times as deranged. Now that said, the stuff with Guantanamo, super important substantive. And I like the political and back and forth. Just briefly, for 3 or 4 minutes, we're gonna jump into utter nonsense. But it's not nonsense that I wanted to have to jump into. This is a super weird thing to foist on America from a politician. I'm gonna take a look at this, which I believe Trump has been spreading this on Truth Social.
I am Ron DeSantis. I'm Ron DeSantis.
I am Ron DeSantis.
This is Governor Ron DeSantis. Hello, this is Governor Ron DeSantis wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. Hi, this is Governor Ron DeSantis, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Governor Ron DeSantis, and I want to congratulate all of you at Rumble as you open your US headquarters.
So I want to be clear, deciding as a 40-plus-year-old man to start pronouncing your last name in a different way is not the most important thing in the world. It's not the most important thing going on. But can we agree that it is deeply, deeply weird? Like, you go year after year after year after year, you make it through the 80s and all that retro stuff. You get through like the Seinfeld era, you're on into like the iPhones coming out, and you're perfectly happy with the way that your last name is pronounced. And then you decide after all of that, no D anymore. Duh time. It's duh time to shine. Again, it doesn't matter. I know that, JR, but it's super weird to change how you pronounce your name. Like, it's a perfect example of how everything is artificial. Everything is artifice. It's all a strategy, even to the pronunciation of your GD name. Sorry, GD name.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, though. This is obviously, you know, political handling territory, right? Where things have to be posed a certain way, you have to appear a certain way, and then you completely create their image in a certain way. So if you're doing this, then you gotta try and figure out, why is DeSantis better than DeSantis? Where was that tested? What study group was put a room of 100 people, and they said, you know, when I hear DeSantis, I think what, tiny D? I don't know what they're doing with some of these processes, but they've come up with something. And again, it goes to the fact that we're looking to convince people of something without giving them the substance, because really, who cares, right? How your name is pronounced. Your name can be, Schmo or Wiener, things that can be made fun of quite easily. But if you have good policy and actually are likable, people might actually vote for you. But yeah, we don't do that anymore.
And by the way, I'm sure you can find 10 different things like this about, you know, Trump. And, you know, they honestly, they changed their name when they came over or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that said, this is the sort of weird little thing that I think convinces people that these politicians are fake. I'm not surprised that Trump is pointing this out. It's deeply weird. It's a bizarre thing to do. I'm not saying there's never a good reason or whatever, but to do it so late, like if Ted Cruz came out and it's like, by the way, I'm Ted Cruz, deal with it. That's weird, man. That's really weird. Why are all of our politicians so deeply weird? Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, we got a lot more news to talk about. Don't go anywhere. I felt like we were closer to the mark. Anyway, with that said, we do have more news to talk about, including legal developments. So with that, let's jump into this.
Whether it's the Mar-a-Lago raid or the Unselect Committee hoax, the perfect Georgia phone call, it was absolutely perfect, or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot, they're all sick and it's fake news.
You know, it is admittedly difficult sometimes to remember all of the legal challenges and investigations facing Donald Trump. So I'd like to thank him for reminding us on a regular basis of how many crimes he's alleged to have committed. Great strategy, bud. Anyway, I was hoping that today on the show, we'd be able to give you some sort of live update about the Stormy Daniels. I'm just gonna say her actual name without needlessly throwing in physical insults against the woman that you clearly wanted to have an affair with and might have actually done it. But we do have updates on another case. Remember, he is still being investigated by a special counsel when it comes to the document scandal, the stolen classified documents. And we have an update on that with US Judge Beryl Howell writing last week that prosecutors in special counsel Jack Smith's office have decided that at least at like a base level, they have proven that there appears to have been criminal violations. And I want to make sure that you know about this, but I also want to make clear that you don't get ahead of yourselves. We always want to make sure that you pump the brakes to point out that they have laid out evidence that indicates the possible existence of some sort of criminal violation is very important, particularly when it comes to the continuation of his attorney-client privilege with some of his lawyers who are currently engaged in the case. But that does not necessarily mean that thus now let's just wrap this thing up. To actually get him on these crimes, you would probably have to present more evidence. And the judge makes clear that in the ruling right there. But does say that prosecutors showed sufficient evidence that Trump intentionally concealed the existence of additional classified documents from lawyer Corcoran. This is Evan Corcoran. Putting Corcoran in an unwitting position to deceive the government. That is potentially important, probably for the legal future of Evan Corcoran as well. If it can be pointed out that it wasn't an intentional act in deceiving the government. But Howell goes on to say that Evan Corcoran should comply with a grand jury subpoena for testimony on six separate lines of inquiry over which he had previously asserted attorney-client privilege. Sources added that Howell also ordered Corcoran to hand over a number of records tied to what Howell described as Trump's alleged criminal scheme, echoing prosecutors. Pretty awesome to have the judge using that term. Those records include handwritten notes, invoices, and transcriptions of personal audio recordings. We're gonna have Trump's response to this, but this is potentially important. And I understand that for many of you who've been following this case from the very beginning, your response is probably, yeah, well, duh, because we know that he's been lying about all of this. It doesn't feel like it should matter over much whether he was also lying to his lawyers, but everyone who is not a regular person in this case is deeply concerned about motivation and what was known and when and all of that stuff. And in that realm, this development could be very important. JR, what do you think? I believe that you have muted yourself.
Someone.
Nobody puts JR on the corner.
No one. This is one of those situations where you see Donald Trump continuing to do these types of things right in broad daylight. And as you said, many people already knew it. But is this just the piling on of more and more and more things? And to the point where no matter what they come and get him on, which, you know, as you point out, you were looking for the potential indictment, maybe even arrest based off of the payment plan with Stormy Daniels, which was obviously a problem there. But then also then to the covering up of the documents. There's so many things keep piling up. We're trying to figure out, so at what point are we gonna start taking any of this seriously? Because one of the ones that they do take seriously, then when they finally get him on something, if it's gonna be like, how dare they keep coming for him? Which is why he keeps repeating all of his crimes, to downplay all of them. If you hear about them a million times, it turns into just normalcy. It's a normal approach for a former president to go through and do all of these things. And by the way, even from just the payment and things like that, they're gonna complain that this stuff is coming out, right? Or that you're coming for this president. Yo, the problem that they have with this entire Twitter file stuff that Elon Musk was pushing, and the weaponization of the government, and the coordination of the government with Twitter, and all the stuff that they're trying to push, they wanted to see the president, current president's sons penis because it was on some computer somewhere. Because they said that would have changed the outcome of the election. I want you to think about that. They said they want to see this guy's privates because it would have allowed Donald Trump to potentially win the 2020 election, which, by the way, they said he won anyway. So that doesn't make any sense. But what they're trying to cover up now is that he paid off this woman he had an affair with because he was not looking to not be embarrassed to make sure he won the election. Isn't that about the same thing? You're trying to cover up embarrassing things so that you won't be judged by voters, right? So what you're saying the Bidens were doing and Twitter, including with them, if you do the exact same thing, how is it not a problem? And in fact, you went further to pay someone off to make sure that it doesn't become public with, of course, funds that you're trying to hide and cover up and then sent through your guy. I know we weren't talking about the Stormy Daniels stuff, but the thing is I want to point out again just how hypocritical these entire process and approaches that they have when it comes to how they're arguing, how innocent Donald Trump is in all these things, and now the classified documents case. If they come from on it, they're going to say, look, they're trying to get him on anything.
Oh, they will. I mean, we just have to resign ourselves to that. I mean, they've been saying that from the very beginning. They will. When you pointed that out, it reminded me of this quote from Andor. And that is the real trick of the imperial thought machine. It's easier to hide behind 40 atrocities than a single incident.
Yeah,
you overwhelm people with your illegal acts. That's clearly a strategy. I think he also likes doing them, so that makes it an easy strategy to follow. But yeah, at the end of the day, we are never going to get them to accept reality. A lot of them, you know, 50 million, 70 million, I don't know, a lot of people. What matters is reality, and what matters is results. So hoping that at the end of the day, everyone is going to take their blindfold off and a rainbow is going to be over all of us and we're all going to accept reality is just not how this thing is going to play out, unfortunately. In any event, very briefly, before we move on to other news, they did respond, Trump campaign spokesperson, to ABC News revealing what the judge had said, saying, shame on fake news ABC for broadcasting illegally leaked false allegations from a never Trump, now former chief judge, against the Trump legal team. The real story here that fake news ABC should be reporting on is that prosecutors only attack lawyers when they have no case whatsoever. So it's legally leaked and fake. I feel like you're allowed to leak fake stuff after all. I mean, that's not actually revealing it. The whole thing is nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. We're gonna see what happens. But that said, I do wanna just get into a little bit of the psychology going on since you did mention the Stormy Daniels thing. So let's talk briefly about that. We are unfortunately forced to wait another day, maybe two, to find out what's gonna happen with the Stormy Daniels hush money, a possible indictment of Donald Trump. But more is coming out from sources around Donald Trump, including that he has told advisors that he wants to be handcuffed when he makes an appearance in court if he is in fact indicted by a Manhattan grand jury for his role in the hush money payments. He has reasoned that since he would need to go to the courthouse and surrender himself to authorities for fingerprinting and a mugshot anyway, he might as well turn everything into a spectacle. Well, that's what he says. Not everyone around him believes this is a great strategy, and they don't necessarily trust why he says he wants this. People close to Trump say he's deeply anxious that any special arrangements like making his first court appearance by video or skulking into the courthouse would make him look weak or like a loser. And Trump's legal team has recoiled at the idea of him going in person and recommended that he allow himself to quietly turn himself in next week and schedule a remote video link appearance. But he's rejected that and told various allies over the weekend that he didn't care if someone shot him, he'd become a martyr. He later added that if he got shot, he would probably win the presidency in 2024. Maybe he's thinking of Bolsonaro getting stabbed or something like that. It's an interesting legal theory. We'll see if he gets to test it out. JR, what do you think?
Definitely sounds like a Donald Trump plan. It matches up completely with what he was promoting and saying was gonna happen earlier this week. They're coming to arrest me. They're coming to come get me. Indictment. Look at these leaks. And the leaks are coming from inside the house. So it's the same thing. He's trying to promote himself. He is noticing maybe some other challengers coming aboard. And he's like, I need to make sure that I get this ahead of the time. I need to make sure that I weaponize normal legal proceedings against me now so that I can coalesce all these people before they fully decide to jump ship from me, which we've seen some have. So he also found a way to make sure that, you know, folks like Kevin McCarthy and other establishment Republicans then have come around and backed him up. Now he's got their voices on his side because they can't help themselves either because they're idiots. So he's done this whole tour. The one thing Donald Trump is good at, the only one thing Donald Trump is good at, is selling himself and selling whatever narrative he wants to sell. And he's selling this whole thing about how he's this victim. The unjust legal system is coming for him. Look at our two-tier justice system that somehow comes from the rich white guy who gets away with everything. That's the legal system that's coming for him. And don't you feel sorry for me. And Chris Sununu's dumbass went on TV and said the same thing. This is only going to generate some sympathy for him. So do you really think if Joe Biden got arrested, if Hunter Biden got pulled in the way they want him to be, do you think a bunch of Republicans would start to feel sorry for him? It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
it works out for them.
That's a great point, JR. But I think there's two potential ways to deal with it. So either like that points out that they don't really mean it and they don't actually want him to be arrested, because otherwise, why wouldn't it work the same way with Joe Biden? Or it's them revealing that when it comes to Joe Biden, people would reasonably be like, oh dear God, he committed crimes. But Trump's cult is so immune to reason and rationality that reality gets turned on its head. So I don't know, it doesn't look good for them in either case though. But anyway, we'll see. Look, I think that it's entirely possible that it could actually help him in the primary. I don't simply believe that there's a lot of independent Americans that are desperate to have a jailbird as president or whatever for, you know, these many crimes. But maybe I'll be wrong. I've been wrong in the past.
I've had a number of people saying they read all these things in the paper, you hate Trump, blah, blah, blah. But they said, does Tucker like Trump's policies, any policies of his? What's the deal with you and Donald Trump?
Let's see. I spent 4 years defending his policies, and I'm going to defend them again tonight.
Oh, I bet you are. I bet you need to. I love basically every part of that. I don't know who that the first guy, Bo Snedley, is or whatever. But I love he's like, there's all this stuff about you hate him, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean, blah, blah, blah? He specifically says in the text messages he hates him. Why are you saying that this is like an implication or something? It's a direct quote from the guy you're talking to. But of course, he can't challenge the big host that he's talking to. And Tucker Carlson, to be very clear, is laughing about all of this. His friends are laughing too. They're right off camera. You can't see them, but he loves it. The idea that I hate him. I'm not deeply worried about my base turning from me or anything, which is the entire reason that he's going on these interviews to reassure everyone. And then finally, the defense. And we have other video. The defense, hate him. I defended him for 4 years. No, but like, that's the whole point. Yes. Publicly, you said one thing, and then privately, you said what you really thought. That's the entire point of this. And you now coming out after you're feeling the flames lick at your toes to reassure people that you don't actually hate him is once again demonstrating the gap between what you say publicly for clout and for money and for influence and audience and what you say when you don't think the rubes are listening to you. And so again, I'm worried that this is actually going to work, but what do you think, JR?
This is the thing though, so they have to flesh this out. So if you say, ha ha ha, I've been defending him for 4 years, that would go ahead and allow us to assume. So the things that were revealed of you saying you hate him, maybe I can stop talking about his ass. All these things were very negative. Were those things fake? Were they manufactured? Someone create some kind of AI voiceover thing? And this was in text. Did they Photoshop these things together? Is it all fake? Is it fake? Because the only way that you can say that you've been defending him and those things don't match up means that one of these things are not true. Or okay, fine, they're real. If they're then real, who were you lying to? Why were you playing this role privately with someone else? What is the basis behind it? Finish.
JR, you want to know? Yeah, because he's going to come up with a defense and it is horrible. And we are going to shred it. So here he is coming up with his excuse. No, don't pay attention to the words I actually said. Here's what I really meant.
And I'm pretty straightforward. I love Trump, like as a person. I think Trump is funny and insightful. And I said this to Trump when he called me, all wounded about those texts. that was a moment in time where I was absolutely infuriated.
He sounds so pain. No, I love him and he's funny and insightful, has great obliques. He's the best. What do I have to say to you idiots? What do I have to say? And then, no. That was just like a moment where I was upset, but not upset at Trump. He goes on to say, I was upset at a staffer, but only because the staffer gave me this list of dead voters and I read them and they weren't true. And I learned nothing from the fact that I accepted this information that a politician gave me and just uncritically spread it to you. I'm not gonna engage with that mentally. I was just mad at the staffer, not at Trump, and just about this one thing, okay? So that's interesting because you said, I hate him passionately. Again, seems very clear. But then let's also bear in mind, he said, we are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait. Come on, Tucker, your little defense of, I was just mad at a staffer over this one tiny thing. We're very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait. Goes on to say, we're all pretending we've got a lot to show for it, the Trump presidency, because admitting what a disaster it's been is too tough to digest. But come on, there isn't really an upside to Trump. This is so GD clear and no like fake defense of it being about a staffer and one little mix up with votes. It was very clear and he was still calling Trump a demonic force on January 6th. This was not a moment. This was multiple moments that gave us direct insight into what he really thought. Rare insight, because you never see it on TV, but this is what he really believes.
This is the thing, bro. So now that explanation is that I was mad because of a staffer, right? That's what he said. A staffer that gave him what? Yep. Fake information? Is that what he said? He gave him false information about the validity, or at least their basis for what they said the election was stolen over or won of. If that was false information and you took it and you know that it was fake and now you're upset about it, therefore you said you hate Trump and you never want to talk about it again, that doesn't match up, first of all. But if that's the case, aren't you saying now that the whole thing about the stolen election is false? So Donald Trump is wrong that this election was stolen. You were wrong that the election was stolen. In fact, as you said tonight, I'm going to defend him as well. Tonight, I'll be wrong again about saying that the election was stolen, because I just told you the information that I was given by the folks who said the election was stolen was wrong. Which one is it? It doesn't have to make sense. But also, if you're saying that the election is then not stolen, or at least the information that said it was stolen is wrong, but you're still defending it, isn't that also an indictment on your credibility? Because you keep pushing the same lie that somebody named Tucker Carlson just told us is wrong? Which one is it, bro? Which one is it?
Carlson went on to claim that his views are pretty transparent. No, your texts are pretty transparent. Your views are purposefully murky. He goes on to say, his moment of anger does not represent the whole body of our thoughts. Look, I am actually surprised that he does feel the pressure, the need to do this, and the need to keep going on the air night after night to be like, no, the election was totally stolen. I really believe it. That shows that he is worried. Okay, that's why he's doing it. But the idea that he thinks that just saying, oh, the rare moment where you see what I actually believe that runs directly contrary to everything I've told you in the intervening period doesn't represent the whole body of our thoughts is such a, again, I'll say what I said yesterday. If you found text messages from me that directly count, like I was just mocking Medicare for all and of climate change, yeah, that's real. And then I would come out and be like, that was just a moment of anger. It doesn't represent my whole body of thought. I'm really transparent. You should never listen to me again. But Tucker Carlson will not be the first person that has clearly taken positions and said things that run directly counter to the brand that they've built. And unfortunately, people inoculate themselves against realizing the truth. And it's really depressing. There's been major progress made by a grand jury indicting 10 people in the death of Ervo Otieno, a mentally ill man who suffocated to death earlier this month while in law enforcement custody in Virginia. I'm not sure how much you know about this case going into it, but 7 deputies from the sheriff's office were indicted on 1 count of second degree murder each. 3 hospital employees were also indicted on 1 count of second degree murder. This is, of course, just the very first step towards accountability. We'll have to see. We know how often these things get derailed along the way. But to give you details on what actually happened, Otieno was being transported from the Henrico County Jail to Virginia Central State Hospital, a state-run psychiatric facility, back on the afternoon of March 6th. Spokesperson had earlier told CBS News that Otieno had become combative while being transported to the facility. So look, there is what we are told initially, and then there's the actual footage. We're gonna play just a bit of it. There's a lot more out there. We're gonna play a bit. Understand that this is graphic footage. You understand how tragically this case ended, but here's what happened. And obviously it goes on, the result of all of what you're seeing of him handcuffed in leg irons, surrounded by a crowd of people. Still, he was combative. So multiple people had to get on top of him. And look, there's obviously still a lot that we have to find out about exactly what happened medically, but he suffocated to death in a facility designed to heal people, to protect people, surrounded by tons of professionals that have been presumably trained in this area. All of their collective training and ability results in him being suffocated. And imagine if you were surrounded by this crowd of people, none of them helping you. You've had this psychological episode. You don't have the medicine that you're supposed to have. Nobody's actually helping you. How dare you be combative briefly? As you fear that you are being killed, how dare you be briefly combative when you're surrounded by that many people? He was chained up and he was one person. If you're surrounded by like 10 people, how are you worried about this person? Who the hell cares that he's being combative? What is that, Thanos on the ground? That you have to like press the life out of the person? How can you be concerned? What can he do, JR, at that point? How can you still be scared at that point of what this person on the ground, their hands are chained, their legs are chained, is gonna be able to do? It's not Jackie Chan. How can you still be so terrified that you're willing to kill a person?
This is the result of the way we approach many things, I guess, in the world. This is human nature. We assume, and in some circles, we assume that a physical and an aggressive response to something is always the answer. So you have to come with this assumption that the person that you're attacking is, first of all, fully aware of what's going on, and also isn't panicked, doesn't have something else happening with them. You're in a mental health facility, so the assumption should be, hey, something's going on with his mental health. But instead, the response is physical. Why? From very early age, we always, you know, we've always spanked kids, and I'm sure that's lessening now, but we have this type of corporal punishment when it comes to things. So as people grow up, they think the answer to anything that's a conflict, that's an issue with me, is attack, attack, attack. You got 10 people, we have to attack him further. Because eventually, do you think his mindset, wherever you think it is I'm panicked, maybe you think I'm mad and I'm aggressive and I want to fight. Mm-hmm. Do you think then to get him to stop fighting, the response is be to fight? You're the one that's in control. You're the one that's in your quote unquote normal, clear thought mindset. And you go to the level of attack and then kill someone eventually. And you think that's correct. How do we see that?
And nobody does anything. Every one of those people has been alive and conscious over the course of multiple years, where we have had multiple national dialogues about people having the life crushed out of them, of them being suffocated, choked to death. And nobody thinks, wait a second, this is the moment where I'm in one of those situations where I can stop this from turning in the most tragic direction. And at least as far as we've has been revealed so far, nobody has chosen to do that. His mother says, my son was treated like a dog, worse than a dog. My son was tortured. Obviously, there's gonna be a lot that's gonna come out about this, but this is just absolutely horrendous at this point. That is unfortunate all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Sorry to end on such a down note. We do have more to come in the aftermath, everybody, so please join us there. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.